you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on DP, Prince Harry is snitching and dishing. Carissa is out, so we are joined by the beautiful Heather Dubrow. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And everybody out there, put your kids in the other room, grab your wine, and let's get shady. Last night on CBS, James Corden got Prince Harry to talk about everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. The tabloids, marriage, why he left London. Let's just say Harry spilled the tea, literally.
James, you've got carpool karaoke.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do English tea on the 405.
Hey!
I guess tea on the 405's not a good idea.
Clean it up, Harry!
This here, right there, is the house from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Do you remember the song?
Now, this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
I think this is where you should live.
Well, that's wonderful. I think we've done enough moving. Haz, how's your tour of LA going?
Haz? I didn't know we were calling you Haz now. It's such a monumental decision to have walked away from the royal family.
It was never walking away. It was stepping back rather than stepping down. It was a really difficult environment. We all know what the British press can be like. And it was destroying my mental health. I was
really?
Like, this is toxic.
Yeah.
So I did what any husband and what any father would do, is like, I need to get my family out of here.
I wasn't a big Ginger fan, but I think I could do a little Ginger now.
He's so sexy.
Oh my God, he was so endearing. He was just so, I love him. And I can't wait for the Oprah interview. I mean, he was so open. When he did the Fresh Prince song, I was done.
Yes.
I was done. He actually knew the words.
I know, he was so cute. I just think for Harry, like when I watch Harry talk, I think, okay, he's so appropriate. He did what he was supposed to do. He waited till William got married, made sure they were cool, had an heir and a spare and a spare, and he's out. Like, he's so low on the line, he doesn't have to be there, right?
No, 100%. But I just feel like this kind of took some of the heat off of Meghan, because for some reason, people think Meghan went in there and kidnapped Harry like she was Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, y'all act like
all
she went in there,
movies.
Forced this man into a ship,
right.
Had him, like, you know, hostage. Like, I always say you can't steal a grown man. Like, Angelina didn't steal Brad. Brad went willingly.
Yes.
Meghan didn't steal Harry. Harry went willingly. But I will say, Harry is much more approachable than Meghan, and I think it's because the British tabloids have been so rough on her that she kind of sort of put this force field up and has kind of sort of been retreating to the back. Or maybe it's the James Corden. Maybe it's the Brit on Brit.
It was interesting. And what I loved is that he said, I stepped back. I didn't step down. Let's don't be confused.
Right, because he loves his family and he does want to serve. I just think it's interesting. I mean, Harry to me has always been someone that wanted to leave.
Yes.
He was always like in the middle of the party, in the tabloids, like half naked, doing his thing in a good way. I mean, I loved it. It was great. And I think Meghan was his ticket out. But I think because he's now enjoying this more open life, she actually needs to play Duchess a little bit.
Yes.
And I think that's part of it.
She always has been the Duchess, though. 100%.
Totally. We need crowns. We need a tiara.
We need tiaras here. Let me ask you this question. We've seen, you know, this James Corden interview. We heard that Meghan's going to be doing and Harry going to be doing Oprah, you know, with so CBS. Exciting. And we know that they're doing the Spotify thing. Do you feel like this is a campaign to rehab their image?
Well, I never thought they had a bad image.
Yeah.
I thought the paparazzi had a bad image. I thought maybe the royals had a bad image. But I feel like I do. I feel like they're the ones. You know how the little ugly duckling wins in the end?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're going to turn out and be this beautiful swan at the end. I really think that we're going to embrace them and love them and applaud them for stepping back.
100%.
I agree with Kim totally, but I think what they have to be careful about is overexposing, because I think what's part of the royal thing that's so cool is the mystique about the whole thing.
Okay.
And if all of a sudden, you know, Harry and Meg's are like at the local Starbucks all the time or the deli, it kind of takes it away, right?
It does. But that's why I think they're doing it kind of perfectly. The timing's right. They came to America, they sat, they like locked themselves behind gates. And now that the world's opening up, we're starting to see them open up a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think what the Oprah interview is going to do is kick the door down to let people know that we are here, we're ready to make a living, and we're ready to get ourselves out there. Because trust me, every network was running for these two minute they touched U.S. soil. ABC, NBC, E.
Netflix.
TMZ was throwing their names in the pile. Everybody wanted to do it. So I think for them, they're picking the right people. James Corden, A+ for Harry.
Yes.
Oprah, who would ever deny it?
No one.
I mean, I would say NBC would have been the better place to put the interview, but I'm just biased. But I think they're doing it right. And the best part about PR is when you have good PR, you have good people who can time it right for you, that it's going to make the most money. It's going to make the most shockwaves. And I think they're doing it right.
And I think this was perfect to come out with. It's almost like he came out first before his wife. We got to see him. I've never really paid attention to him. But when I tell you, this interview made me love him. And, of course, James helps it. It just made him human. And go ahead, say it.
No, I like it.
You like it?
I like it. But you know what's interesting? And don't take this the wrong way.
Okay, go.
But I feel like when you were on Housewives, and when I see you out, you and Terry have a dynamic that's a lot Meghan and Harry.
We do?
I think you do. Oh, I think that you...
Wait, is this a compliment?
It's a compliment.
Okay,
and let me tell you why.
Going.
I think when people saw you on the show, they felt like, because they think Meghan not runs Harry, but Meghan leads the way.
Yes.
I feel like for your family, you lead the way. And a lot of times people get that misconstrued as you're controlling Terry, when really Terry just likes a woman who is in control.
It's totally true. And what's funny about that is that I am such a controlling person, but I'm not a controlling wife at all. And it's like a joke in the house. Like he'll go, whoosh, to me, like it. I know that's not funny, but it's fun, kind of funny.
We
still make fun of that kind of
husband.
Okay, so he does it. We laugh about it because we have an equal partnership. But yeah, you know, the way it's presented, not just us, but Meghan and Harry and lots of couples out there, you just don't know the dynamic.
You don't know.
100%. Some men like a woman who, you know, can whip them into shape a little bit.
Well,
Terry,
like
we know what you like.
Oh, I'm very... I love it. But, I'm just going to say this and then we can move on. But he did say that he enjoyed the crown as opposed to the paparazzi. But that just made sense to me. Because you know I'm a crown fan. That he didn't say, oh, God, the crown is awful. It's not true. See, for me, he told me.
You were here
for some
it.
Truth. I was
You've
here
been waiting for that.
Because he is telling me that when we watch the crown, it's real.
You guys, while we get her a tiara in the commercial break, Paris Hilton is continuing to show support for Britney Spears. Now, the two used to hit the streets back in the cut. And here's what she had to say about those crazy times on her This Is Paris podcast.
From the moment I would wake up and leave my house till I would go to bed, they'd be chasing me. Like sometimes there'd be 50 cars. And they were just, this was before social media. So pictures now, I think because of social media, we already post something, so it becomes less, you know, worth less to them. So, you know, to get a shot, people, it was like a war almost where they were just fighting over it and they didn't care what would happen or if you got in a car accident, like they'd probably be happy because then they get crazier pictures.
I just love the way she talks. She sounds like she's in the bed doing the podcast.
She is definitely.
She might be.
She's, in like, the bed.
She's definitely she's reclining. Like, you know.
Yes. She's 100% she's reclining. Yes,
I love totally. It.
I listen to this podcast, and it's very interesting listening to, you know, people on Framing Britney talk about how the paparazzi was to blame. And even here in Paris's account, which I respect, and I totally am here for it, but I also have to disagree in the sense that these girls played with the paparazzi, and they used them to make millions and to get exposure and to ramp up their fame. And at some point, it went from fun to this is kind of scary.
Yes.
How do I get off this roller coaster?
But I think that's because, well, one thing, Justice, don't forget, they were at the beginning of reality TV. They didn't know what was to come. It was at the very beginning. They were young. It was fun. You think about it. You're just running. We didn't have Instagram and Facebook or MySpace or anything that you can post. Now you're right. You can post everything about yourself. But now the paparazzi is fighting to get these pictures. They're chasing you. And you're young. You're like, ah, ha, ha. Let's see if they can get us. We should do this. Until it started to become dangerous.
Yeah, it started off as a fun joke with them that they would play with the paparazzi. Like, let's run out the back door. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then it does become very dangerous. But I did think it was interesting what Paris was saying, that the pictures are worth less now because of social media. But in a way, it makes it almost like they have to try harder now and go farther lengths to get those photos.
I know. I think what happened was paparazzi saw that you can't make as much money anymore. So now you have less and less paparazzi. Like, if you go on Robertson Boulevard, you can actually walk with your kids to the Ivy.
It's so true. And by the way, I heard recently, I haven't watched Orange County since I left the show, but I heard there was some controversy about paparazzi. I want to just say for the record, there is no paparazzi in Orange County.
There's none.
Oh, wow.
You have to call them.
That's okay.
This that's is hysterical. You have to call them.
You gotta call them. Call someone
and negotiate the
and
time.
And say, hey, the 405 is not busy at 2:30. I'm going to Javier's.
Yes.
I've run into Khloe Kardashian, like tons of people that always have paparazzi around. There's no paparazzi
ever.
In Orange County, ever.
But the LA girls do it too. Now they have deals with paparazzis and they tell them where they're going to be.
I'm so naive. I learned how to do this.
And it's the people who will post the most flattering photos of them. They know the outlets the paparazzi agencies that will retouch the photos and, you know, give them in their good angles.
Love that.
Because they give them
pulling my neck back.
They give them the information.
Yes. But let me ask you guys something, because you guys are both celebrities. At what point did it go from fun to, I don't know if this is worth it for me? Because I think every celebrity kind of has that moment.
At my son's school, when they show up at the school in the bushes. But Halle Berry put a stop to that at a certain school. And my son was going to that school, and Sandra Bullock pulled up, and I remember, and I was like, oh, that's just why. They were literally in the bushes.
That's crazy.
And I was going, you dropping off your kid in the morning, I was looking like a man. Because mama was always like, they thought I was a daddy. I would have on the bonnet, the sweat clothes. Hey, Sandra, what's up, Halle? How you doing? And then, Audie, they caught me in some shots that were not good. I said, this has to stop.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess we don't go to that bougie school, and we're in Orange County, where there's no paparazzi.
Which is nice.
But I will say that we have, like, a really kind of nice kind of fame. Because when I was doing scripted television, we didn't have social media or anything like that. It was, like, good to get a picture in TV Guide at the time. It was like, yay!
The thing.
Hilarious. There's my name, a picture. But we have, like, that nice kind of fame where you get a good table and people come up and say hi. Oh. But it doesn't really cross the line. And I kind of like it like that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Which is not normal, because normally in reality TV, people think they know you and they want to. They expect you to be a certain way when they see you having a few drinks at Mastro's, like I've seen Heather a few times. But we're not going to talk about that. Up next, the Law and Order reunion we have all been waiting for. Plus, can you guess the celeb rocking this purple suit? We'll see if you get it right after the break. Ooh, is that fine?
Who is that?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Before the break, we asked if you could guess which celeb is wearing this hot purple suit. Who do you think it is? I'm going to say
Justin Bieber.
He's married. Oh. Justin Timberlake, maybe?
No, he's big, beefy on top, though, this guy. No? And the short
Eminem.
Pants?
Channing Tatum. Eminem. Girl, please.
Well, we know it's not Terry Dubrow. There's no blood. Oh!
The Jonas.
Well.
The hot one.
Oh, he's so cute.
He is cute.
He is so cute.
Those eyes.
I love him in purple. Well, you guys, we deal with a lot of breakups in Hollywood, but we're still not over Elliot Stabler and Olivia Benson's split on SVU. Thankfully, after the long 10 years, they're finally reuniting.
Are you and Stabler good partners?
We've worked together a long time. I can anticipate what he's thinking, what he's gonna do. Yeah, we have a great rapport.
Elliot put his papers in. There was nothing I could do.
Liv!
I'm crying.
Yes.
Because we're going to see this reunion on Law & Order SVU Organized Crime crossover. That episode is on April 1st on NBC. I'm crying because does Dick Wolf need any more money? How many Law & Orders will this man get?
No, it is absolutely fantastic. How long has it been running? Like 25, 30 years? It's longer than The Simpsons, right? This is probably absolutely the longest drama in the history of dramas, and everyone is waiting for it. Like, you can't, they're gonna be on walkers. Talk about, did you see the body? Did you see the body? No, and we don't want it to stop.
We don't want it to stop. And actually, I wanna be a victim on Law & Order SVU, so NBC, please call me. They are also kicking off today's Pop of Love. Chris says he knew Mariska and her husband, Peter Herman, were meant to be early on. Yes, because they're hot. Chris tells People Out Friday that Mariska acted like a schoolgirl when they first met, even though she came to work one day crying over Peter. Chris knew they'd end up getting married. First of all, has this ever happened to you where a friend tells all your tea and they're not supposed to spill? Like, first of all, that's too much. Not supposed to tell that I came to work crying over my man.
But they've been together so long, I think it's okay. And honestly, so we were once in Puerto Rico with the family, and Mariska and her husband and her family were there, and they were so cute.
They're adorable.
I have to say, it's really nice, because people say this to me and Terry, like when people know us, they're like, you're so normal.
Yeah.
Like, how'd you do that? The kids are so normal. That's how her family seemed, like, just really, really nice.
It's so nice. Have you ever had a friend who, like, called a love before you could see it?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
And a failure. They usually call it a failure. They're like, oh, that's not going to make it. He is going to jail. I can tell. Yeah, they can see it in their eyes. But they also see how I act. And what happens to my girlfriend's like, oh, that's the one. Or that's... Because what happens, they say, I turn into a schoolgirl. I blush because I'm very, like, hey, you know, all hard. But then when there's a certain type of man, I'm like... So crazy.
You get excited.
Yes, and you cannot deny chemistry.
You know what's interesting? As a gay man, I think it's my obligation to tell my girlfriend sometimes that they need to stop looking for everything in a man. Because I feel like women get to a certain point where they have this fairy tale in their heads, and we have to sometimes say, look, this is probably the best you're going to get, this man. Oh. No, and not in a mat, not
you
in
mean
a mean
like
way.
Lower your standards?
No, not lower your standards.
He's too good for you, sister.
No, it's not even that. It's because I don't
you
know,
mean,
girls.
That man is everything that you've been looking for. You just don't see it.
You just can't
because
see it.
Because our list can be long, but in my 20s, my list was probably 3 pages. In my 30s, I cut off a page. You know, as you get older, you're like, baby, is he breathing?
Right.
I'm like, you just
really need the pulse at some point.
At some point, it's too much. We're asking because we grew up as little girls and we want the knight in shining armor on the white
horse.
That's
what it is.
That fantasy we put in our head. Stop looking at these little cartoons thinking it's going to end up perfect. Get someone who's perfect for you.
But also, don't you think that the dating apps and the social media, we learn so much about someone before we even go out, it's not like the old days where you like you start talking to someone. Maybe they're not exactly your type, mm-hmm. but you start talking to them, and then something about them is like kind of hot, or
yes.
you know what I mean? And you get that connection. And so this person in this list that you thought you had actually gets completely turned around because now you've met someone, you have a spark, you have chemistry. I feel like that is gone.
Oh, that is totally gone. Yeah. Like everyone makes fun of me because what I do when you know restaurants are open and I can go to dinner, I always try to go to dinner at least 20 minutes early and have a drink by myself at the bar. Because in my mind, this is part of my fantasy, somebody is gonna walk up and you know, offer to buy me a drink, or I'll see a guy there
I thought you said you go 20 minutes before your date gets there. I'm like, you're gonna flirt for 20 minutes before he gets there to see if the grass is green on the other side?
He's got backup. It's good.
I met with friends. But I also do it when I go on dates too. Like, I just wanna know because everybody, how did you and Terry meet?
Oh my God, he tries to get the heat off of him all the time.
We met on a blind date.
Oh.
Yeah.
And were you into Terry when you first met him?
No.
Was Terry ever your type?
25 years later, I'm still working it out. Weighing the options.
I love Terry.
I love my husband. No, yes. He wasn't my type. I don't know. But then it just like blossomed.
It happened.
And it happened fast.
Was it a friend that introduced you?
Mm-hmm.
See? Because a friend knew that
friend
what
knew.
She needed. And this was a nice guy.
Step your game up, Kim Whitley.
Oh, I got you.
Coming up, fashion expert Melissa Chatain is here to highlight the black fashion designers who are dressing stars like Lizzo, Beyonce, and more. I need to know all these people. Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
As a part of our Black History Month celebration, we want to spotlight some Black fashion designers who are making a big splash. Here to tell us who to keep our eye on is fashion expert Melissa Chatain, honey.
Good morning, honey.
I just like saying your name.
Chatain.
Okay, we have to start with that purple suit that broke the net.
Yes, everyone was obsessed with that coat. It was designed no other than by Christopher John Rogers, that purple suit that Kamala wore at the inauguration. He is known for his bold colors and bold silhouettes. His designs are loved by Lizzo, Jamila Jamil, and our new VP. So this is for the lady who wants to make a statement when they're walking into the room. They demand attention. Yes, and you can find his pieces online at Net-a-Porter, or if you can't afford it full price, you can always go to The RealReal.
By the way, I was sitting here saying Net-a-Porter. It's Net-a-Porter.
Net-a-Porter. Here we go. Fashion lessons.
Yes.
Fashion lessons with me.
Well, give me this lesson, because size inclusivity is a big deal right now.
Yeah.
What are some Black designers who are really embracing that?
Well, my favorite is fellow Haitian, Victor Glimod. He is known for his bold, colorful knits. This is really for the fashion girl.
Ooh.
So, yeah, he's Haitian, which I love. He loves a little bit of color. His pieces are worn by Issa Rae, Minda Kaling, and curvy
Ooh.
Ashley Graham.
Ooh,
so he's all about representation. And I love it that he started his career in fashion PR and has done everything before he became a designer. So his pieces are really for the fashion girl who's willing to invest a bit. They're about $300 to $500, so they're moderately priced.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them at victorglimod.com or Revolve Clothing.
I love that. You know, all these pieces are kind of runway. They're ready to wear. But you know what? We're all wearing streetwear right now. We ain't going nowhere. We are staying on that couch all day. So who is nailing the streetwear?
Oh, the streetwear is by Pierre Moss. Now, everyone looks at his name and go, wait, Pierre?
Everybody loves this guy.
Yes. No, Pierre Moss by Kirby Jean Raymond. He is the key of elevated luxury streetwear.
He's amazing.
Now, his fans are Tracee Ellis Ross, Lala Anthony, and Taraji P. Henson. So he also is known for his impactful logoed t-shirts.
Yes.
So it's really affordable as well. So you can find his clothing at Reebok.com or his website.
But by the way, I have to stop you. Who makes those earrings? Because those are gorgeous.
Ah, this is from my girlfriend. She's a blogger, and her brand is RG Danelli.
These are beautiful.
She makes them all by hand. These are pearl earrings that she made just for me to wear today. So thank you.
I love that. Now, women are paving the way in fashion, and
yes, I feel like
women know women.
Women know women, and this is a female black designer that you should know. It's Fee Noel. She is huge. She is worn by Beyonce, Tessa Thompson, and Michelle Obama.
Hold on. Did you say Beyonce and Michelle Obama in the same sentence?
Yes. She's a powerhouse. So she's from the Caribbean. Her colors are really much more flowy fabrics. This is the stuff that you wear on vacation. This is resort wear, elevated resort wear that you wear on vacation. This is for your bohemian girl, those boho babes.
Yes.
I mean, there's a robe that I have of hers that I just wear around the house when I'm just walking around, just drinking
feeling
my
sexy.
Wine, like feeling sexy. This is the stuff that you wear. This is it. So you can find her pieces at FeeNoel.com and or Net-a-Porter.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a hub where people can go to search out some of the best black fashion designers in the game?
Well, the Council for Black Fashion Designers is a great resource. And there's an Instagram that Beyonce started that's Black Fashion Designers.
What's it called?
Ooh, I am slipping on the name, but I will get that to you.
You know what?
Post it on your Instagram. Post it on mine. You guys, just follow me because I will be sharing all the tips where you guys need to know and shop black designers.
You guys, check out Melissa Chatain's Instagram at Melissa Chatain and scan that QR code at the bottom of your screen to get more Black History Month coverage here at E! Online. Coming up, you might want to stay for this. Are we ever going to find out which Atlanta housewife went solo with Bolo? The wild new clip you have to see. Who hooked up with that stripper? We're going to find out.
It's time for the stories making headlines this Friday in today's Hollywood Minute. Let's start with Lady Gaga. A source tells NBC that her dog walker is recovering well after being shot while walking her three French bulldogs. Gaga is offering $500,000 reward for the return of the two dogs still missing. Her father told the New York Post the whole family is sick over what happened. Police are still looking for the shooter. Emma Watson is not done with acting after all. Her manager clarified the rumors that suggested she was going dormant or retiring from acting to focus on family. Her manager tells Entertainment Weekly Emma's social accounts are dormant, but not her career. The Handmaid's Tale is returning for a fourth season, and it's going to get intense. The Rebellion begins April 28th on Hulu. June, played by Elizabeth Moss, is fighting a war after her escape. And we're told her fight gets extremely personal. And that's your Hollywood Minute. The Atlanta housewives are wild, and Strippergate is far from over. In this sneak peek at the Bravo show, Kenya is on the case to find out who got boloed. Of course she is.
Page Six learned. Cynthia Bailey's bachelorette party allegedly took a wild turn.
Two real housewife owners saw and had sex with a stripper.
I think in a situation like that, you shouldn't lie to your partner.
She don't want him to leave, she better lie.
Yes, you did.
It was good, according to several people.
She's literally praying on the prophet.
Wait, so they have like a whole relationship?
We have no relationship.
LaToya is a pastor.
You weren't looking for God. You were looking for some.
Not at church, y'all.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
You heard it right.
Did she just say that?
You heard it right.
Oh.
You heard it right.
I think I'm having PTSD.
Okay.
Heather is feeling shooketh right now, so we're going to move on back to the stripper, Bolo.
Bolo.
Portia says she slept with him. But she said it, I feel like, in a joking way where she was like, yeah, I slept with him, blah, blah, blah. Or do you think there was some truth to that?
Mm-mm.
I think she definitely got a little Bolo.
Honey, have you seen Bolo? I'd get Bolo, trust.
Would you?
What? Oh, why? Because he's very professional.
No, boo. You would need a gurney after leaving the night with Bolo is what you
yes,
would need.
Yes, I've seen him. I have given him some dollars.
Is nothing sacred, not even a bachelorette party.
That's my problem.
Yes.
What happens at a bachelorette party stays at a bachelorette
party. But how many years have these girls been on the show? You know there's cameras, and you know everyone's going to talk about you. And you're not new.
Yeah, and they're trying to one-up each other. If I get some dirt on you, it's going to make me better for the public, better in the show. Job security.
That's what I think it totally is, too. But, Heather, when you were on the show, and you were on for how many seasons?
Five.
Set aside the PTSD, but yeah. Every season I feel like they kind of sort of push the button and they kind of go closer and closer to that fourth wall. Was there ever a moment where you were like, oh my God, I cannot believe we've gotten this far? Like,
no, but I actually like that. I like when you break the fourth wall because I think that it adds an element for the audience that really draws them in because the audience knows, even though it's real, we're still filming a show.
Yes.
So there's different layers to it, and I think it's really fun.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what breaking the fourth wall is, there is a moment where you never see cameras, you never see producers, and you never talk about production when it comes to reality TV. But now you're starting to see producers run in. You're starting to hear producers' voices.
The real reality.
Yeah.
I think for these ladies, that's what tells me that they were so lit that night that they weren't even thinking that they were going to use this footage later on in life.
And it is true, I have to say, that once you start doing reality television for a long time, you forget.
Oh, didn't I say that? You get comfortable. And they've been doing it so long, they know the crew, they're comfortable, this is what they do. You forget that they're going to use this footage now. How do I backtrack out of it? The thing is, you can't pay the producers. You can't say, because this is gold, you can't say, please, 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 I beg of you, it's going to ruin my marriage. They're like, the contract says.
I know, and that's what, you know what's always funny to me? When some girls say things like, oh, so-and-so got me fired, or so-and-so had this happen to me. Trust me, no one has that kind of power, like literally.
But don't you feel like some housewives have a little bit of negotiating power where they can say, okay, look, I gave this to you. I don't like how it came out. I can give it to you at another party, but in a different way because I don't want my husband to be mad at me. Or you think once it's out of your mouth, that's it.
I think when you got a pearl there, they just
take it. But it depends on your relationship with the producers. If you're nasty to the crew and the producers, baby, they are going to put it out. But if you're a kind person, you're like, you know, I do for you, you do for me, they might be like, okay, we'll fix this, but you're going to have to give me something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on your relationship. Be nasty.
Ooh.
Honey, they're going to put more than that out on the internet. They're going to be like, here's the real footage. Oops, how did that get out?
Ooh. Well, speaking of getting nasty, the Golden Globes are coming up and we have predictions. Will the crown reign supreme? Who's going to make history? Our expert weighs in on it all. It is time to talk Golden Globes and who's bringing home that trophy. Joining us is Rotten Tomatoes Award Senior Editor Jacqueline Coley.
Hi.
We're going for the big dogs on this one. The Senior Editor who get it right. Okay, let's start with TV. What drama series do you think we'll take it this year because that category is stacked.
Yes. Let's talk about The Crown, though. I'm still mad. I saw y'all's segment about Harry and Meghan. I'm still mad how they did Diana. I think we see some parallels today, and I think it's going to take it home. It was such great television.
Only because of Diana, by the way.
Yes, only because of Diana. But also, the guy that plays Prince Charles, how much did you hate him? That's great acting.
Yeah.
That's incredible acting. You also have Helen Bonham Carter and Olivia Colman reminding us again why she's Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Double nominee this year for the Golden Globes as well.
Did Prince Charles? Because I fell in love with him. Like, it made me feel so sorry for him in the whole situation.
Not when he was up with Camilla,
ooh,
no.
Yeah. That is true.
But it was still such great television, and that's the point. I love that they're going to keep extending the show. We might get to, like, the very last episode of The Crown when it wraps. Now is probably Harry meeting Meghan for the first time.
That's what I would like to see. Margaret Thatcher, honey.
How about best comedy? What show do you think is going to win?
So for best comedy, there's a ton of great shows out there. I want to give a shout out to Ted Lasso, but Schitt's Creek, I think folks have come along finally to understand how great that show is, and so it's finally getting the play that it should. It may sweep a lot of the categories, in fact, too.
The only thing I think might harm Schitt's Creek is that the Golden Globes, the FHPA probably thinks, oh, you got all the Emmys. You don't need any other thing. Let's give this to Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis kisses the ring. You know, older white men love him.
I will say this. The Golden Globes really love newcomers. If folks remember Rami Youssef last year winning for Best Actor thought it was going to go to Bill Hader. So do not be surprised. This is a smaller voting body. They can literally do anything. It is always fun when the Golden Globes come around because it's very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Okay, but isn't the Golden Globes, aren't they like the predecessor to what's to come?
Yeah, it's with all of these award shows, whether it's the Critics' Choice or the Golden Globes, they're best when they somewhat resemble the Academy Awards, although I will say the Golden Globes, because they have comedy and they divide it, it's always going to be a little bit different, but they're quite, for the most part, in lockstep with at least nominations. Maybe not the winners, but they at least, if you are nominated for a Golden Globe, your chances of getting an Oscar nomination are much higher.
I'd love to know how that works. Are they calling each other, texting each other? Okay, what about Best Actress?
Best Actress and Actor in the comedy or for the film side? Which side?
You know what? Just go with it.
Television
show. So Olivia Colman, again, for The Crown. I really think that one is going to be. And we're going with a bit of a dark horse. This one, Nicholas Hoult for The Great, for Best Actor. He was so great in that. I think it kind of is a carryover for what he did in The Favorite, another thing he did with Olivia Colman, I might add, but he was great in that, along with Elle Fanning playing the sort of bumbling Russian king.
And I feel bad for them because they didn't really get the love that they deserve, because The Great is one of the best TV shows to come out of the pandemic, honey. This puts Joe Exotic to shame.
Come on, Tiger King, come on.
No, I'm telling you guys, if you haven't seen it, but then also like Ted Lasso.
Jacqueline, you didn't give me that one on your list.
No, so this is the thing. Like, I wish that I could have said Ted Lasso was going to be the winner. It could be. Look, I love Jason Sudeikis, but I'm going to go with what the Golden Globe voters will want to vote
for. Best Director. I'm trying to get...
Best Picture for drama on the film side, I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be Nomadland. It is a studio film, Chloe Zhao. It has swept every single major prize this season of a lot of the awards. On our awards leaderboard at RottenTomatoes.com, it has over 100 wins. The next closest is Soul with 45. So this is a movie that has been running away with
things. Best Director, is a female going to get it?
Yes, absolutely. With three nominees, they better.
I hope so.
It's actually going to be Chloe Zhao.
What?
Because she's also swept every director prize this season as well. The fact that we have three women, as much as there's been controversy about the Golden Globes and who they nominated, this is a landmark moment. And this could very closely mimic what we were going to see at the Oscar ceremony. There's only been a handful of women who have been nominated for Best Director, and only one has won. And I think this year could change that.
Okay. Oh
yes,
my God.
Barbara won for the Best Director for the Golden Globes as the only one for the Golden Globes. But for the Oscars, it's Kathryn Bigelow.
Oh, my God. Well, Jacqueline, you are going to be with us this weekend here.
Yes.
We're going to get more tea. And make sure to catch our Golden Globes coverage this weekend. We have you covered. We have this happening tomorrow for a special Daily Pop Golden Globes edition at 11 a.m. Then on Sunday, it's the Golden Globe Awards on NBC kicking off at 7 Eastern. And we will have your coverage all day on E! Starting at 4 p.m. They got cameras everywhere. Now, up next, the special way Jennifer Hudson is giving back during Black History Month. We'll be right back. Black History Month is coming to an end, but we're only beginning to tell our stories. So we asked some of our favorite celebrities what this month means to them.
When I think about incredible Black women who have inspired me, the first person that I think of is Whitney Houston. Having the ability to grow up listening to her voice was absolutely incredible, and it inspired me from such a young age.
Now I think all of us look up to Amanda Gorman. She is the creative driving force behind everything she does. And I just think that's so inspiring.
When I was about 6 years old, my mother gave me and my brother this Black History book that had biographies of African-American folks, famous African-American people who had changed history. And I certainly dreamed one day of, through my work as an artist, sort of having the impact.
I'm like so inspired, I think, by, you know, I guess the people who paved the way for us to be here, but also, specifically the Black women that are doing it now, like Miss Regina King, who is a director, which I hope to one day be able to do.
February is the month. We need to continue telling our stories and celebrating our stories beyond that.
lots of times when you're a young Black woman, it does not occur to you that you can be all of it. You can be the writer, you can be the producer, you can be in charge of every last aspect of it.
Do you have a person that...
Oh, absolutely. Whoopi Goldberg. When I saw her do her one-woman show on Broadway, changed everything. I was like, I can do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is a good one.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson, a spokesperson for our sponsor, MasterCard, celebrated Black History Month in a very cool way. She had a mural of Sam Cooke painted in her recording studio. She's also teaming up with MasterCard to support Black female business owners across the country, like Brooklyn boutique owner Michelle Cordor after the pandemic hit. MasterCard Strivers Initiative helped Michelle take her business online so people could still get their shop on. I love.
Oh.
This makes, like, me get a little teary-eyed.
No, that is fantastic because a lot of people are suffering during the pandemic and people aren't coming in stores, so that is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, a lot of Black female business owners get the short end of the stick. So I'm happy to see MasterCard hook this up. And to learn more about how MasterCard is supporting Black female-owned businesses, head to eonline.com. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop. The Golden Globes are this weekend, but today marks an Oscars anniversary that we will never forget. It's been 4 years since Nicole confused America with that seal clap. It went viral, and Nicole explained herself on the Kyle and Jackie O Show.
It was really awkward. It was really difficult because I had a huge ring on that was not my own, but was absolutely gorgeous. And I was terrified of damaging it.
That's when you're rich. That's money. Like, when you have, like, when you're, so, the diamond is so precious on your hand that you gotta do this.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
She doesn't own it, though. I mean, if you didn't own it, you'd be like, if you own it.
No, right? No.
But when there's a Brinks truck and a security guard to make sure you don't damage it right here and you ain't got that $2 million to spend on it, you're like...
Because you're like, if I clap too hard and this sucker flies off somewhere in this crowd, it is a wrap. I wouldn't even clap. I'd have been like this.
It's so funny because everybody freaks out about that clip. I freak out about the time where she went to Alexander Skarsgård and gave him, like, that big old kiss. I think it was the same award season when they won for Big Little Lies.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I remember. I'll send it to you, girl. It was
okay.
Hot. You know, we can't start this weekend without some Feel Good Friday. Check out what happened when an adorable puppy crashed a live weather report.
Uh-oh, this dog. I'm sure it lives in this house, bro.
I'm so sorry.
What's this dog's name?
Pierogi.
Pierogi.
Oh, I love that name. How cute is that?
That is so sweet.
Oh,
I love
so
that.
Cute. He was probably afraid of dogs. This is
take it.
I'll look at him.
Our next story, two Ohio colleges are facing off in a restaurant tipping battle. It started when a student at Xavier College left a $1,000 tip at a local cafe. Now, when the cafe posted a thank you online, students at their rival school, University of Cincinnati, left a $1,001 tip at a different restaurant. Now, students have been raising the amount by $1 each time, and they have now tipped, guess how much?
How much?
$30,000. Where is this PPE money coming from?
Wait a minute. What student has $1,000 to tip?
I think they're all getting together and doing it as like a way
to, like...
The
first time, it wasn't an accident, like they added an extra zero because they weren't good in math.
And then they got caught and they felt dumb.
They felt dumb. No student ever, I couldn't leave a $10 tip in college. Are you serious? Especially what at an HBCU? What's happening here?
Yeah, this is when you dine and dash, isn't it?
Okay. Isn't that the age? Or I think Sally Mae is about to get some crazy phone calls for some parents being like, why does my kid need an extra $1,000 on some student loans?
Oh, my gosh.
But a lovely gesture, though.
Lovely.
It's a great gesture.
My mother would have killed me.
You guys, thank you guys for being here. Heather Dubrow, thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having
me. We'll see you guys tomorrow on our Daily Pop Golden Globe special. This was a fun show.
It was.
I'm going to do it every Friday now.